Good morning. This is Dana Sarig, sitting in for my last Sunday morning with my life application devotions. You know, it's been a pleasure giving Mike a nice break so he can gear up for Vital Men. That will be starting in September, so he's excited to get that going again. Summer's a good time for a break, but I know he gets antsy and wants to get the men back together, so look for details on vitalministries.org for Vital Men to start back up in September. Also, for September, we have Vital Gathering that will be held at Debbie's Celebration Barn here in Oskaloosa. That will be on Sunday, September 12th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it's a great time. It's fellowship, so we have food and fellowship. There's a message, there's praise and worship. And then to end, we send you out with a treat, a cookie or some kind of a treat to end the evening. So look for a Vital Gathering starting or going on in September on Sunday, September 12th. I write the Vital Life Application Devotions for Vital Ministries. I also am the behind the scenes person for Vital Ministries. I am doing paperwork, helping with different things that Mike gets going with Vital Men, Vital Gathering. So I'm the behind the scenes person as well as writing a devotion Monday through Friday. With my Vital Life Application Devotions, there is a scripture verse that you read, and then you also learn how to apply God's word in your life. So I'll help you examine your life through God's word. I believe, and it's true, it helps you stay on a positive path. When you are going through life, there can be so many negative things and things going on that trouble us. And so if you get into God's word every day, it will help you stay on a positive path with your life and your daily choices. If you would like to sign up to receive daily devotions for Vital Men or Vital Life Application Devotions, you can go to Vital Ministries. It's vitalministries.org. Go to the website, check it out. You can sign up. Also, anytime you want to know what's going on or where Vital Men would be meeting, that's also listed on the website. Now, I want to go off kind of on a segue here. My daughter, who just graduated from Mercy College, and she took her big test and got her licensure, she has been going full bore with schooling and studies and tests. And she is a definite perfectionist, and her work ethic surpasses, her work ethic is amazing to me. And I wanna brag that she got it from me, but I'm not sure. You know, I can't even meet her standard of work ethic. And she right now has a little bit of a break before she starts her job. And she was calling me and she was concerned because she's a go, go, go person. She does get that from me. And she was also, her study habits are similar to mine with regards to overstudying, and she's a go-getter with her academics. And now that she's got this time, this lull, she's feeling lost. And she called me this morning and she was saying, you know, Mom, I'm feeling like in limbo. I don't want to be in limbo. And so we had a nice long conversation and I said, you need this limbo. You need this downtime. You haven't had downtime since she graduated from high school, and you've been go, 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 full bore, hard academic wise for a long time. You need this lull. And this is what I would say to do. I said, get your devotional life organized with your new life that's coming up with working and not having to do studying or taking tests. And so we talked about working that, blending that into her life, and that she's got this downtime now to reflect on her relationship with the Lord. So I kind of want to give you an idea of what I do. And I talked to her as well with what I do. I like a study Bible. A study Bible helps me read scripture, but then I can read what is going on here. I can get the point of view from the Hebrew, from the Jewish people at that time. What does it mean? And how then do I apply that to my life? So I highly recommend getting a study Bible. Also, I've been enjoying a chronological Bible. A chronological Bible does the Bible in order from beginning to the end. So I've been enjoying that to see what was going on all at the same time, and that it can kind of give me a better picture of God's word and applying it to my life. Mike and I did something for our three children, my three children, Peyton, Ryder, and Sarandon. What we did, as they graduated from high school, they were given a Bible. Peyton and Ryder both got a Bible from Mike. The Bible had been used and written in and lined up, and there were notes in there, and we gave them a used Bible because we wanted them to have a Bible that had been used by someone they care about. And so they each got a Bible. Sarandon got my Bible. My Bible was a study Bible with notes and different things in there that she can, if she comes across it as she's reading, she'll know where maybe I was coming from or what life journey I was in at the time, and she can maybe find some similarities in her life. So that's what we did for the three kids as they graduated and went on to school and on into life outside the home. Another thing I did for my daughter and our two sons, Mike wrote prayers for the two boys, and I wrote a prayer for Sarandon in the back of the Bible. And I told her, make sure you read that prayer that I have for you. I have this prayer for you, and I pray for my three children every day, and it's for their spiritual life, their emotional life, their physical well-being, their relationship with the Lord, and working out their salvation. And I wanted her to read that, so I had her do that today. I said, read that prayer I have for you in the back of the Bible I gave you, and if you want, read it every day or read it once a week, but just know you have a mother who prays for you every day, and I want you to know that I love you unconditionally, and I know God loves you unconditionally. So as you're going through this time of waiting and limbo, build your relationship with the Lord. Now, what do I do in the morning? How do I put God into my life? What I do is I get up in the morning and I love to read a scripture verse, and then I like to use my study Bible, and I like to read what it says about that time frame and what was going on and what it means, and then I like to reflect on it. And that's what I do every morning. And that's why my life application devotions for me are helpful as well. I'm using them for my life as well, because I'm learning something as I'm putting it out there for you. Mike also does his devotions every morning at his desk, and he's usually reading the one-year Bible. He has different people he likes to read their devotions that he has. And then he also reads the Vital Ministries devotion as well. So we are daily applying God's word by reading it, reading our devotions, and then reflecting on that and how it can build us up through the Lord. Now I want to go on today with today's message. Repentance and God's mercy and forgiveness is what I'm talking about today. Today we will be looking into what it means to change our behavior. Repent means to change your behavior from doing what is wrong to doing what is right in God's eyes. Turning from sin, we will look at sorrow over sin and hope and God's forgiveness. Finally, there are natural consequences to sin, and how do you handle that? Today I'm going to read from Psalm 51, 1 through 19. This is a psalm from David, and he's expressing repentance after sinning. David had a deep need for God's mercy and forgiveness. And this is the NIV. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. There is not one person on this planet who has not sinned. We have all sinned. Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man, is the only person who never sinned. What does it mean to sin? So when you sin, you do something wrong against God's commands. You are out of God's commands for the best life he wants for you. You may be lying about something. You may have stolen something. You may be cheating. You may be gossiping about others. You may be abusing drugs, or maybe you have an abuse of alcohol. Whenever you are hurting yourself and it's a detriment to you and those around you, and it is out of what God commands, you are sinning. Now, the thing is, we're human, and every person will always struggle with sin. You're always going to struggle with it. That's a fact. And then I was thinking, you know, when I sin, I want to feel an immediate tug on myself, within myself, saying, you know what, I messed up. And I want to take it straight to the Lord immediately. So I know there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is freedom that all believers in Jesus Christ can have. Sin cannot chain you. You can be free and have life. I'm going to read Psalm 51, 1 through 6. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness, even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. David is asking God for mercy. He has committed adultery, and he had someone murdered. So, he has committed adultery and had someone murdered. He has sinned against God, and he is asking God for mercy. He sees what he's done. He knows what he's done is wrong. He's asking God for mercy. Emotions and feelings come and go, but you have to know, and you have to get it set in you, that you trust God's word no matter what. You trust God, and no matter how you're feeling or what emotions you're going through, you have a steadfast faith and trust in God. David knew God loved him. David knew God's love is unfailing. David wanted to have the sin removed. He wanted a new start. So he was asking, he was bringing it to God and saying it point blank. He wasn't candy coating it. He was saying point blank. So knowing God already knows that we as people have a bent towards sin. We have a bent towards choosing poorly. We just do. We have a bent. Everybody's bent is a little different. Everybody has a different, a glitch. We call it a glitch in our family. We have these little glitches like, I'm dealing with this glitch again. I don't want to deal with it, but I'm going to bring it straight to God right away, because the more I conquer it, the less it becomes a roadblock in my life. So David knows that God's wisdom is better for him. So he's going to work on changing his behavior. So a main thing, change your behavior. When you repent from sin, you are making a choice to change your behavior. For example, if you gossip about others, you are sinning. Gossip does not edify. It does not honor God, and it does not lift others up. So that is detrimental for you and everybody around you. When you recognize that you do this, don't make excuses for it. You want to change this behavior, so repent means to change. Recognize the sin and confess. When you recognize sin and confess, say it out loud. Be very clear about what you have been doing wrong. Look at it for what it is. Just look at it. We all have our issues, but if you don't look at it, and if you try not to see it, or you don't want to see it for what it is, you're only cheating yourself. just look at it. It is what it is. So God already knows anyway. You cannot hide anything, so don't even try. If you don't look at it, it only hurts your healing and progress toward removing it from as far as the east is from the west. God will not hold that sin against you when you have asked for forgiveness and you are repenting. He does not hold things against you, does not keep a list against you. So don't hurt your healing progress, and God will be with you every step of the way. Now, when you have sorrow because of sin, that is a real key part of your process. Having sorrow over sin, and that's true sorrow. You know what true sorrow is. You know how it feels. You have this feeling inside that you are truly sorry, that you feel terrible for this, and you're sorry that you've done it. When you are truly sorrowful for what you have done, that is a full-hearted step. Awesome, isn't that great? A full-hearted step in the direction of changing behavior. You will see how hurtful you are to yourself and others, and how this causes pain and sadness. You may have heart pain for hurting others and going against God's goodness. He wants you to have a clean slate. He wants the best for your life. When you sin, you go against God's goodness for your life. That is what sin is. It is not good for you or anyone else. God has a best life in mind for you, and he has boundaries for your well-being. He doesn't put boundaries up to torment you or, you know, make life boring and not fun. He has boundaries for your well-being. He has commands. He has laws. When we go outside these boundaries, we sin. When you feel truly sorry, you will want to apologize to those you have hurt. Now, I know from personal experience, when someone is sorry for what they have done, we all do, I'm sure, you can see it in their eyes when they apologize to you. When you see this, you know genuine sorrow. Genuine sorrow creates a path to a fresh start for you and the person who did the wrong. Turning from sin and having hope in God's forgiveness, I'm going to read Psalms 51, 7 through 11. So here he writes, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So David had committed adultery and murdered and had the husband murdered to cover it up. He was truly sorry and was turning from the sin and looking for hope in God's forgiveness. David's actions had hurt many people, and he had sinned. Above all, he had sinned against God. Now, this is what's awesome. David could have hope in God's forgiveness. David wholeheartedly repented and looked to God. Turn from sin. That is what you do. You turn from it. You stay away from it. You tell God about it. If you feel that you could never, ever come close to God because you have done something so terrible, you're such a terrible person, and what you've done and been doing for over and over, God would never want you. That is a lie. And God can and will forgive any sin. Know that. God can and will forgive any sin. God mercifully forgives. No sin is too great to be forgiven. God will know if you are truly sorry and want to repent. Now, praise even in the consequences. God can and will forgive you. Know that. But he does not always erase the natural consequences of sin. David's life and family were never the same after the adultery and murder. He had a son die, but David knew who God was and how important God was to his life. Even in the consequences of his sin, he praised God. 12 through 19. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach my transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. You may have to go through the consequences of your sin or the consequences of another person's sin. What do you do in this time? And what you do in this time is important to your growth and faith in God. Do you become bitter? Do you resent God? Or do you keep your eyes on Jesus? And do you look to God for strength and courage? You have a choice. What do you do? Sometimes when I'm in situations, I go back to the Lord's Prayer and the part that says, "Forgive me as I forgive those who sin against me." I choose to forgive those who wrong me because I want God's forgiveness in my life. I want to be forgiven. I want the freedom and life that forgiveness brings to my life. I know when I forgive, I feel lighter. I don't feel the pressure of holding that resentment. It takes a lot of work to hold resentment. And so when I forgive, it's better for me. God knows that when you ask him for forgiveness, it will be better for you. He wants to be with you. He wants to live life with you. So you have to think, what do you want? Now, it has been such a nice three times bringing you God's word and visiting with you regarding what I do, what Mike does, and how we use devotions in our life. And I hope my three teachings have helped you and brought you closer to God. I want to thank you for listening. I pray that you received a nugget or two today in your life journey with God. Your life journey is with God, our Father, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our helper. I want you to know that you are a beautiful work in progress. And I want you to know that God will forgive. He loves you. I hope you have a blessed day, and thank you for listening to Vital Ministries. Have a wonderful day.